This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton. The real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Yannick Ngakoue just limped off the field for the Bears. This one is intercepted by Chicago and Kyler Gordon.
I mean, I love Chicago. I love everything about it. The people, the history, the team, the community. So this is where guys tells me to be. That's where I will be. It's where I want to be. As far as extension, we'll see what happens. I got no control on that, but God willing.
Pay that man his money. It looks like that is the case. Word on the street is that Kyler Gordon and the Bears have agreed on a $40 million deal with $31.256 million guaranteed, which, according to Ian Rappaport, makes him the highest paid slot defender in the NFL.
It's very difficult to find rankings of slot defenders in the NFL, because that fact that you just gave about the Kyler extension got me thinking. All right, so let's look around. Is Kyler the best? Is he considered the best? It's a scoutable thing much more than it is a quantifiable thing. There are two slot corners in PFF's top 10 of cornerbacks from last year. One is Garrett Williams of Arizona, and the other is Andrew Phillips of the Giants. But that's just ranking them on their coverage skills. Kyler, as you know, is way more than that. He's an attacker. He's a damn good blitzer. He's a real good tackler. He is a very flexible, malleable, exciting player.
He is, and I'm glad to see them reward him and for them to come to a deal on this. This is great. There was no animosity or anything like that. This is the type of thing that is great for your locker room. The idea of, look, that guy produces, that guy got paid. It helps when you're trying to make cases to re-sign your own guys. Like, look, we take care of the guys that are doing the job. Kyler Gordon, when they drafted him, I wasn't quite sure. I knew that he had all the twitchy stuff. And I'm like, okay, this is an interesting choice. For him to evolve into this player that you're talking about, where he is sometimes out on an island as a defender, and yet he's willing as a blitzer, him being a willing tackler, him not being afraid of contact, even though he's usually the smallest guy on the defense.
You can trust him to defend the edge on a run play.
You sure can.
You know, and I mean, think about the freedom that that gives you.
He will hand fight. He will knife through to make a play. And because he's such a good tackler, you can use Kyler Gordon in goal line situations depending on the formation.
I understand the evolution of thought on Kyler Gordon from when he was drafted. Some of it is scouting. Some of it is also a prescient choice by polls. Because
it's his first pick, right?
Brisker? No, is it Gordon then Brisker?
Yeah, Gordon. I think it was Gordon first and then Brisker.
I think you're right. So this is a position that has only gotten more important in the NFL since that selection. It's only gotten more important since, you know, for the past years. It's up to now, it's over 70% in terms of how much the base defense for a lot of teams is the nickel.
Yeah, most teams are in 11 and between 65 and 75% of the time. So that means that you better have that guy out there that you can trust, that can play what are some of the super twitchy slot receivers that are in the game.
Yep. And very often you're only having two linebackers out there. Think about how much you saw Jack Sanborn and how much you didn't see Jack Sanborn
right
during the course of the year. And what's I remember when we did this for Ben's Vision, when we looked at Kyler Gordon early on, because you've been hot for it all offseason, Lawrence. This is a prime.
I think Kyler Gordon was actually the birth of Ben's Vision.
Yeah, you really wanted to think about it. And it really is Dennis Allen's vision in that way, because he, as a defensive coordinator, and you'll hear more about him in a minute, has not been a guy who uses the nickel as much as the rest of the league historically. Up until last year, the percentages for how often the Saints under Dennis Allen, either as D coordinator or and then head coach, who used the nickel were pretty low, like bottom five. In 2023, it was bottom five in the NFL, how often they were in the nickel. Matt Eberflus's Bears defense was much, much higher than that. So when Dennis Allen says on the day that he met the media that he's excited to work with Kyler Gordon and he name-checked him specifically, part of it is an excitement for Dennis Allen knowing that he's finally got a guy who is worth him doing that and expanding what he himself likes to do defensively.
Kyler Gordon is so good at what he does that he pops up on the offensive coordinator's scouting report. It's like, hey, we got to make sure we know where he is, how he's aligned, because he's got talent. He can go get it. And if you're thinking that he's the weak guy, we can send tight ends across the formation and we can take him out of a play because he's going to be unwilling to engage in some of those plays. Oh, no, 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 my friend. You are going to meet a physical conflict with Kyler Gordon in those moments. And having someone at that spot that's willing to do all of that dirty work and can make the spectacular plays is pretty awesome.
Agreed. It's good stuff. And Kyler Gordon gets the extension. And we were talking with Robert Mays, who's so damn good, from The Athletic on Friday. There was a ton of good stuff in there. Draft stuff that we can use and bring back on certain edge rushers, like all different kinds of stuff. But we both lit up when you asked him about Dennis Allen and what that defense might look like with Dennis Allen because of the simple question, how good is he around the NFL?
What else do you think we should know about Dennis Allen as a defensive coordinator?
He's the best. He's the best. I love watching his defenses play. It's one of those defenses where, you know, I think that Matt Eberflus did a solid job as the Bears defensive coordinator. But I think with a lot of these four down zone heavy guys, you know, there isn't a level of kind of in your face urgency where they're pressing the issue. And when you watch those Saints teams play, you know, they're a four down front, but they're a little bit more multiple than that. They're going to run some more like funky simulated pressures every once in a while. And the way that they play their quarters and man coverage, they're in your face. That is how it's going to be. They are going to challenge you the entire game. And so I just think that it's a perfect fit because it allows you to maintain your personnel that you've gone out and acquired because it fits a four down defense, but it just is a more dynamic sort of defense than the one that we've seen over the last couple of years. I mean, I truly think you can make a solid argument that Dennis Allen has been the best pure defensive coordinator in the NFL over the last 5 years. As excited as I am about Ben Johnson, the fact that they managed to pull that off, I think is something for Bears fans to be really, really happy about.
Man, that's exciting stuff. And we've been talking about how he's going to use some of this talent. Jalen Johnson is excited. He's going to get to travel, it seems, with a number one wide receiver. I wonder how Tyreek Stevenson fares in Dennis Allen's mind, Robert.
He's had a lot of defensive backs play really well in that defense over a long period of time. And it's funny because I think that there are some people in Chicago that have written off Tyreek Stevenson. You know, they think that he's a lost cause, corner is a need for this team. I would caution people against that for right now. Corner is the most volatile position in the NFL. When you look at year-to-year performance, it's really hard to maintain a high standard of play at that position year over year after year. You know, very few guys do it. Sauce Gardner had a down year this year. He's about to make $25 million a year. So I think the fact that Tyreek Stevenson, year two slump and just the natural volatility at that position, I would not be surprised if Tyrique Stevenson had a big year this year, if he made good on some of the flashes that we saw from him as a rookie.
Loved hearing that from Robert Mays.
That's a counterintuitive opinion out there, or it's at least an opinion counter to the prevailing wisdom on Tyrique.
You know what? I thought about it, and after hearing it again from Mays, Dennis Allen is so good that he got Robert Mays to sound like Hub. At the beginning, he was like, he's great. That is the quintessential Hub giggle when he is talking about something.
That's interesting. I mean,
what else do you think we should know about Dennis Allen as a defensive coordinator?
He's the best. He's the best.
That's a great call.
There was never, ever any real closure on the possibility that he shot someone in Philadelphia at the end of his career.
I will say that's funnier. It's funnier. Just the whole concept. Dennis Allen being good is funny, but Marvin Harrison maybe shooting somebody at the end of his career, that's just comedy. You know what I mean? I mean, how do you not laugh at that? It's a crowd pleaser.
It was comedy until I saw him at the Hall of Fame.
Marvin?
Yeah. You know who Marvin's did a radio show with in college?
Who Marvin Harrison did a radio show with in college?
Let's see. He sure did.
At Syracuse. I'll say Mike Tirico.
You want to guess, Tanny?
Benetti?
He's
Shane?
Too old for Benetti. Hang on, this is a good one. I got another guess.
No, I don't.
Was it Bird?
Well, hold on. While you guys think about that, let me tell you about this. Wednesday, April 16th versus the Miami Heat, the Bulls are going to be playing, and we're going to have a ticket giveaway. Yeah.
Wait. You mean this Wednesday?
Yeah, the play-in.
The play-in game? The Bulls against the Miami Heat?
Yes, we are going to do that.
Tell me more, Lawrence.
So we have a sounder for this, Tanny. So when you hear this.
Mattis Vasilis, the rookie with big time onions. You got to love him.
Yes, you do. 312-540-0670 is what you would call the next time that you hear it.
Not right now.
You can also go buy tickets because they're on sale now. And you can go to bulls.com/postseason to do that.
I like the yellow sweet big time onions. Those to me are like the most malleable. You can do the most with them.
Big time onions.
Yeah. Again, don't call. Don't call yet. just to be clear.
Bulls tickets.
Yeah.
Don't brick it.
No.
Can I kick it? Bulls in five.
Yes, you can.
Bulls in five.
Bulls in five. They got to win a game first.
They got to win two
games. They're a good point. They got to win two games.
Because they lose the one game, and that's the end of that.
All right.
But, so you guys now have had enough time to think.
Iron Eagle.
Nope.
Oh, that was a good guess. I went with the age group.
Eagle probably too old, right?
Or I don't know.
He's close,
I think he's a little too old.
Okay. Greg Papa.
No.
I'll take Syracuse broadcaster.
Tom Papa. Oh, I thought we were doing categories. Just naming Papas.
Big Papa.
That thrive pot, though.
I don't know.
Hold on. Syracuse, Marvin Harrison's age radio show.
Andrew Filippone, Nick Wright,
Daddy
Bob Costas.
Danny Parkin.
You guys are really close. You jumped over the other person.
Oh, it's not Tirico. Donovan McNabb.
No.
Zaidman.
There it is.
Oh, goodness.
Zach Zaidman and Marvin Harrison used to do a radio show together at Syracuse.
So what does Zach know about the alleged shooting?
He doesn't know anything about any of that.
He's maybe heard a little bit about some of that.
But what he does know.
Well, it was his show. He's on that show.
Yeah, he's on that show.
So you know, Marvin is not, he is not for the play. And I literally accidentally ran into him.
Oh boy!
At the Hall of Fame,
like physically?
Yes.
Oh, so literally.
And I was like, oh,
that's trouble. Like, that's trouble.
I dropped Zach's name, and it was all love.
Oh, good. There you go.
It was all.
He could say Gunner.
I mean, how small and insecure do you have to be to get mad at someone for accidentally running into you in a crowded place?
No, I mean, it's not that he was getting mad. It's just that Marvin does not suffer fools. Like, he's one of those dudes where, you know.
Well, you weren't doing anything to him. You just accidentally ran into him.
I was not.
There's no fool to suffer.
But hey, you know.
That's why I hid that gun in the garbage can in the alley, allegedly.
Then I mentioned
Zach, and he was like,
he wanted
how
to hit
is
you
he?
More.
No, he was like, how is he? I love that guy.
Zach gives you a hall pass. Zach gives you a hall pass to a lot of people.
Yes, he does. And I used it.
Speaking of MLB, is that a workable segue?
Sure.
Okay, thanks.
Fine.
I've been dying to get this in. And this is for.
Oh, is this the question?
This is the question. Don't look at the text line in case anybody knows.
Speak said, I have a trivia question for you guys. It's good. I'm going to call that terrible trivia.
He also said that he wanted to ask it to Stoney.
I was going
to
ask Stoney.
And I'll say this.
What?
If you know the answer, then he knows the answer.
I think that, he would have just answered
well,
it.
Well, I will tell you, Speak, if you've noticed it, I've noticed
I wanted to give it a little drama. That's why I didn't ask him, because the answer would have just come out right away. Anything I know, he knows. Five active pitchers in Major League Baseball have now beaten every team in the league. Five active pitchers have beaten every team in the league.
I saw this one.
Oh, you did?
I saw who started this graphic, because he did it most recently. That's
the fun part.
My guy.
Go ahead and give it out.
Jose Quintana.
Jose Quintana is now the fifth active pitcher to have beaten every team in the league.
Clayton Kershaw?
No.
Justin Verlander.
Verlander's yes. Kershaw hasn't beaten the Dodgers. That's the problem.
That's okay.
Verlander's a yes. But how about Quintana? I mean, that's amazing.
That creep can roll.
It's really cool, man. Since 2012, he's been doing it effectively.
He's turned it into a crazy long career. So those are two of the five, Verlander and Quintana.
Another guy that you could have brought back here for these guys.
No, can't supplement that talent. Him and Sale, Abreu, can't supplement it. Got to get rid of it.
Yeah. No, I meant this year.
This year.
I meant this year instead of the choice that you did make.
Mm-hmm.
Just never mind.
So those are two.
Scherzer?
Yes, sir. Max Scherzer, Justin Verlander, Jose Quintana.
Only active players?
That's it. Active players.
Garrett Cole.
Garrett Cole is correct. Very nice. So Cole, Scherzer, Verlander, Quintana, and there's one more.
Is Sale the last one?
No, he's not. It's a good guess.
Okay.
But it's not
Damn
Sale.
It.
I don't know who he hasn't beaten, but it's not Chris Sale. This fifth guy is like one of my favorite pitchers to talk to. I did 15 minutes with him.
Daniel Norris.
No. did 15,
Carlos Rodon.
Nope. Did 15 minutes with him in the visiting clubhouse a couple years ago.
Who was visiting?
The team that he was on.
Damn.
He's no longer on that team. He's on a different team. It's first year with a new team for this guy. He's very old.
Jamie Moyer.
No.
Very
anybody? Former Astro, former Brave, former Tampa Ray, current Baltimore Oriole. Charlie Morton is your answer. Charlie Morton is 40 years old. He's the oldest player in baseball. Charlie Morton is the oldest, I believe he's the oldest player in baseball.
Kenny, you'll get him next year.
So there's your five. How about Jose Quintana joining that group? Morton, Verlander, Scherzer, Garrett Cole, and Jose Quintana.
That's crazy. That's crazy work right there.
Isn't
Quintana.
It?
Quintana. You're welcome.
You're welcome. Sorry. Justin Verlander is, of course, the oldest player.
Yeah. Is
baseball.
He 43?
He's 42 years old. Yeah. So Verlander is one. Charlie Morton is two at age 41.
Then who? Give me the top 10.
Yuli Gurriel at age 40 for the Padres, the red hot Padres. Then Scherzer. Then Justin Turner, who I hope is not cooked, is...
I don't think he's cooked. I think he's just... That's a real bad matchup for him last night, and he wouldn't have played if there weren't injuries.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he's cooked, but didn't look good. Carlos Santana, I love his records. Chris Martin, Yu Darvish.
I love his records.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. Martin Maldonado. And Andrew
David Eckstein.
Yeah, not David Eckstein. A texter did say Jerry Reinsdorf probably loves Chase Meidroff, right? He just loves him. Like that dude.
You won't pay him, though.
No matter how much he likes him, he won't pay him. There you go. All right, I feel better. I got the trivia in. I'm going home. See you later, everybody.
All right, well, cool. Then Josh Schrock and I will just talk about the Masters and the Bears. In what is a very rare guest that's going to be able to do both.
That's a good double.
Yeah, we're going to do the double. Josh Schrock's going to talk golf and football with us next in The Score.